I learn about it, the more I learn that people are not aware of their rights and responsibilities, and so I think it's kedai to talk about it. So we'll say over a few shilas that came up, and then discuss the ending a little, and hopefully we'll be able to say the answer. So story number one is at a chasana, everybody's so excited, and the women are gathered around the kala, and telling her she looks like a queen. Everybody's so excited, and they broke the kala's chair. So the owner of the hall comes to the kala's father and says, you have to pay for the kala chair. So he says, it's a shmir of a baila. I saw a wall, they were breaking the chair during the kala tish, whatever it's called. They I saw the waiters were serving food. That's shmir of a baila, that you were servicing me. So I'm potter. So the owner pulled out the Shmir B'Vayim is the halacha. We'll get to that. But the Shmir B'Vayim is the halacha, that very interesting halacha, very difficult to understand, but it is a pasuk in the Chumash, that if when someone borrows something from someone and the lender is servicing the borrower at the same time. So there was a story of a fellow who asked his shvagar to lend him a folding bed for sukkahs, right? To lend him a folding bed for sukkahs. So his shvagar said, sure, a chavad gadol. So he comes to his house to pick up the folding bed, and the mashal, the lender, of course, helps his shvagar carry the folding bed to the car, right? To put it into the car. So as he's borrowing the bed, the lender is servicing the borrower. So the pasuk says, you are potter. This actually doesn't apply only to a shayl, it applies to all four shaymer. So the kala's father said, this is shmir of a bailim, you were servicing me while I was borrowing the chair, but you were servicing me, your waiters were working for you, they were serving food, so it's shmir of a bailim. So the kala's father pulled out the contract, and it says that you agreed to pay the responsible for everything in the hall, so who wins? So there's a chassidish guy comes to my house sometimes. He says, "Vus lent min koil." So I always have to have him. It's an interesting story. I told him over this. It's inshallah. Of course, you have to pay. So we'll see. Okay. The next story was that a family borrowed. A family, came to stay at someone's house for Shabbos. Right, standard people make simchas, and they give out somebody gives out their house to another relative of the simcha could stay in the house, and this lady, she stayed there, she's ready to leave Matzah Shabbos, she can't find her sheitel. She's looking high low under the bed, no sheitel. So she left. So when she got home, she called the Baal Sabayas, and she said, thank you so much for letting us use your house, I can't find my sheitel. Fine, so eventually the owner of the home, she found the sheitel, and she called him back, she said, I found the sheitel, I'm leaving it on the bed in the room, whenever you're ready, come back to my house, and you can have your sheitel back. So, in the meantime, the goita came along. She was told to strip the linens, right, like Amelia Bedelia, and she took the whole thing and put the whole thing in the wash machine. I said this over at the dinner table one night. The women were very, very not happy with this story. How did somebody put a sheitel, a $3,000 sheitel, in the wash machine? So the question is the homeowner responsible for this wig? That's story number two. Story number three is somebody in the neighborhood made a simcha recently, a bar mitzvah for their son, and somebody lent them their house so their relatives could stay there. Now, us Floridians know that people use the facilities and certain local rules that we have to abide by, with others don't know how to do it. And sure enough, they notified me when they were leaving that the plumbing in the home is not working properly. So question number one is, who's the shayl? The balabayas, the person who stayed there, the shvagar, right, who stayed in the house? Or is the shayl the bal simcha? That's it, he borrowed the house. He grada put these people in there. Grada, there was a story during COVID. What? That's a very good answer. And we will get to that very good pasta. It is karka. How about if the goita then went ahead and flushed the toilet and the whole thing backed up all over the carpet? So who is that grandma? Okay, whatever, fine. So yeah, pasta this time. Okay, anyway. So that was that story. During COVID, there was a yeshiva that couldn't be in their regular place. So they took a hotel in in New Jersey that was owned by a frum man, but because it's a regular guy, you know, Kayesh hotel, it doesn't have mezuzahs on the doors, but the Bachrim were living there, and the Bachrim came to ask the Shaila that they should, the Chayiv and mezuzah. Now, I don't understand the relationship of the Bachrim with the yeshiva, but they said they cannot go to the Hanhala and tell them that they need mezuzahs. I that part of the story I wasn't aware of. The yeshivas that I came from, we were able to tell that to the Rebbein, but in this place they couldn't. And so they were told by the Pesach, the Bachrim asked the Pesach, and he said that the chiyuv to put the mezuzahs really on the yeshiva. They're really the ones that are using this house. And granted, that's where they put the Bachrim. So that was the story. So I had this tzad maybe with this house also. Such a story. Another story that came up was that another guy making a simcha put his shvager in the guy's house, and the Balvira said, please do not use the master bedroom. Like standard, do not go into the master bedroom. Sure enough, this guy making a simcha, the shvager who's staying in the house, left the front door unlocked, and some ganavim came in, and they stole jewelry from the master bedroom. So the shoyl says, the person staying in the house said, I wasn't a shomer on the jewelry in the master bedroom. So vos vil de fremir. So that was another story. Fine. And they kind of had this story where a fellow at the CM Ashas was sitting next to someone. The guy said, I have to go out for a minute. Could you watch my camera? A very expensive camera. And he comes back. The guy sitting next to him is gone. The camera's on the floor, destroyed. So is that person responsible at all if he asked him to watch it? So we'll get into this. Okay. So the Torah talks about four different types of shomrim. Shomer chinam is somebody who agreed to watch something for free. He's not being paid. He's not getting any benefit at all. So the halacha is that the shomer chinam is a potter in most cases. He's potter if the name of aved if it gets stolen. He's potter if there's an oynes or something like that happens. He's only chayv if he is a pesheya. Pesheya means he was negligent and the thing was lost because of his negligence. Shomer sachar is somebody who is being paid. He doesn't have to be paid cash. He has to be, even if he's receiving a benefit, even if the benefit is not lemaisa, he didn't get anything. Let's say it's discussed in the achrenim on the page that somebody offered, he said, I'll take your stuff and I will try to sell it at a profit and we will split the profits. So even though he never sold, made a sale, but the fact that he could have sold it and made a profit is also called the benefit, and he's also called a shomer sachar. A shomer sachar is being paid, and therefore his responsibility is greater, and he's chayiv b'gnei v'aveda simply. If it's stolen or lost, he is chayiv, and he's potter from einzer. It's really the game much more. The responsibility, the difference between the shomer chinam and shomer sachar changed in a number of other ways as well. We actually fine. So that's shomer sachar. Next is a seicher, which is someone who rents something, who is the halacha lemaisa is that he has a din of a shomer sachar. And last, and certainly not least, is a shoyl, which is somebody that borrows something, and the shoyl is chayiv in all cases, even einzer. Even he borrowed someone's car, and a hurricane destroyed the car, or some plane landed, punked on this guy's front lawn, and then broke the car. The einzer, he is chayiv. So that's the halacha of shoyl. Shoyl is only potter by Mesa Machus Malacha, where he was using it, and it got ruined because he was using it. Okay, so the first thing is that the shomer has to accept upon himself to be a shomer. If somebody just says, put something down, he says, watch this, and he never showed any interest, he never responded or anything, or he said, you can put it down if you want, leave it there, whatever. If it's not implied that he's taking upon himself the shmira, then he is not a shomer, and he is not responsible. So that's always a shiloh. Did he say something that gave the impression that he wanted? If he says, yes, you can bring it into my house, that's, of course, the Kabbalah of shmira. The next point that always needs to be addressed is, do you need a kinyan? There's a machlokes between the Rosh and the Rambam. If you need a kinyan, the Rambam holds you need a kinyan. So anytime somebody became a shomer, if the shomer did not make a kinyan, there will usually be a kinyan like the Rambam, and you'll be potter, because according to the Rambam, you need to make a kinyan, the Mechaber Saisim, like the Rambam, in at least one place that I can remember off the top of my head. So the Pashas, that is the halacha.
What kinds of kinyan?
Any, whatever is an appropriate kinyan of Mashiach, or whatever it would be.
Maybe just staying in the person's house.
Chazaka, closing the door. Okay, fine. So, fine. Another important halacha is there was a friend of mine. Someone came over to me in yeshiva and he said, "Can you watch this bag?" So Rav said, "Sure." And then he forgot about it and someone stole it. Turned out it had $30 of cash. I don't remember if it was tzedakah money. Tzedakah money is a whole different story with trouble that we'll get to. But it was cash. It was $30 cash. So he went to ask the dayan in the yeshiva what to do. So he said, "Did you realize how much money was in this?" So he said, "No." So the halacha is that if you're only responsible according to what you understood was in there. So if this thing was really much more valuable than you were led to believe, or then you have reason to believe, then of course you are not responsible for the item more than it was normal for you to understand that it was worth. Another halacha is we know for the Gemara there's chalas of pshia, the seifa ba'ainis, and it can come up. So in the Gemara it's machlokes we paskin chalas of pshia, the seifa ba'ainis is chay. That's what's gepaskin in Shulchan Aruch. But there's another machlokes we shine in. If the ainis has to come about because of the pshia or not, so it has to be directly related because of this negligence that you did. That's when the ainis happened. So you left the bike on the front lawn, so that was a pshia. But then an airplane came and landed on it. So that's a cause. And if you happen to leave it outside, and it happened something, you know, unrelated to the fact that you, what do you call it, happened anyway, it would have happened anyhow. So then the pashas we hold that plus pshia said, but if it didn't come because of the pshia, so then you are potter. The shach does bring the shita of the rash kayin that holds in this case by plus pshia sefer ba'ainis. If it's a very crazy einus case, very unlikely that it would have happened, like the airplane landing on his front lawn, so then we do not apply this halacha about plus pshia sefer ba'ainis. But the shach himself doesn't go with that. The Mechaber says that if the owner of the item comes to the shomer and he says, "Where's my thing?" So the guy says, "Oh, I'm not sure. I have to go look for it." So the Mechaber paskens that anybody who says he doesn't know where it is, that alone is a pshia, and you are responsible, and you have to pay. And not only do you have to pay, but let's the guy says, "Okay, give me 2 days. I'll go look for it." The owner could say, "No, you're a pshia now. You have to pay me now." The Shach brings the Trumas Hadeshan The Smah brings the Trumas Hadeshan that says that what happens if the guy says, "I know it was stolen, it was in my house, I know it was stolen, but I'm not sure if the stealing was because of a pshia or because of an itis. I don't remember if I left the front door open or not." Just an important point. I was talking to someone recently about pshia, and he said, "Well, I didn't do it on purpose." So, but the halacha of pshia means you were negligent. It means if you left the front door open or whatever negligence means in that kafi, the appropriate shmira of this thing, that would be called pshia. So the case of the Trumas Hadeshan is that he's not sure. He doesn't know why it happened. He knows the item is no longer there, and he knows it was stolen, but he's not sure if it was because of an itis or because of pshia. So the halacha is that mitech sheniach l'shavu mashalom. Because in order to be potter as a shavachinam, you have to swear. And anytime you cannot swear, because you don't know if you're negligent or not, so then you have to pay. Which is a big shiloh, which comes up in many cases, is any time the shomer cannot swear, because he doesn't know, do we say, or do we say, so there's a lot of ink was spilled on this shiloh, and we're not going to go into all
the details. In the general case of shavachinam nowadays, the person wants to be potter, he has to be shomer.
We don't swear today, so right. We would say Mitzvah Shani Ochel Shabbos Shalom. That's what I understand.
So he's always in
Mechaim.
What? So he's always in Mechaim. No matter
if he was a Peshaya, right? My son asked the Bacher. What?
He was an Ainus. Sure, he
had a Peshaw. Hashem Echinam, if it was an Ainus.
If it was
an Ainus. I don't know. I don't know. I was never at a din Torah when this happened.
How do you evaluate Peshia?
What?
How do you evaluate Peshia?
What do you want to evaluate Peshia?
No, I'm saying, isn't it subjective?
It is subjective. It would depend on the circumstances. If you live in a safe neighborhood, you lock the front door with one lock, that would be good. If you live in the South Bronx and you just locked your door with a regular bolt. No, that you locked the door, you're still a pesheya. So yeah, it would be subjective. It would be subjective. It depends on what the item is. If you have jewelry and you leave it in your $100,000 worth of jewelry, and you left it in your bedroom with a regular and a doorknob, then that would be a pesheya. But it depends on what you did. Of course, it's subjective.
I'm gonna say it's
your
pesheya. He's gonna say he's not.
Okay, he's saying the dying el mashein of rice. Of course, so that's why there's so many batei din and there's so many. Come on, let's go behind it. Another halacha is shemesh masal l'shemer. It's also for one shemer to give it over to another shemer. But it's important to understand that giving it over to another shemer, pashas, is an issue of pshia, and we would apply the principles of klatz pshia shemivaynis. Or whatever the Shemesh Russell Shemer is something to be aware of. Okay, so you want to go for the whole sugya? We can do it now. I don't want to make another minute in the hall. Okay, so fine. You're right. There's a lot there. Today I had a shtickle Torah middle second say that I wanted a taina. Based on the story with the man who gave his thing to his mother to watch, that if the Shemichinam does something for the Te'elis of the item, he was trying to watch it in the best way possible. It turned out that it was a Pshia. It's Mashma in the Mechaber with the Shach that he would talk be Potter, even though he did be'etzem an act of Shemish Masal Shemar. But if it was a Shemichinam, he was intending to protect the item better. Let's say he couldn't watch it anymore. So his only bet was to be Shemesh Masal Shemer, so then he tackled would be Papa. Okay, let us proceed. So then there's a mission that talks about Masna Shemechinam Lias Keshayel. If you're a Shemechinam, you're a Shemesachah, you're a Shayel, can you take on the other rules of a different Shemer if you want, if the parties agree? So the mission says that you could. There's Machoikis Tukirutsim and Taisvis. If you need to make a Kenyan on this itself, do you need a special Kenyan on this extra thing or not? So the Mechaber paskins that you do not need a kenyan, but Rabbi Kiva Eger at the end of Reich Sadi Aleph says that it's a machlokes, and therefore anytime you didn't make a kenyan, you could get out of this. So this would be the answer to the whole owner, although he had a contract, but if there was no kenyan on this extra level of shmira to be mechayev to override even Ptur B'Bailam. Again, we're talking here, he wants the whole owner wants to say, you have a shtar. You agreed that you're going to pay no matter what. It means you're waiving your rights to Shemir B'Bailim, you're waiving your rights to Karka, you're waiving your rights to every Ptur, fine. But it's a machlekas if these two throats are mitaisvis, if you need a kinyan around. So the Shemir could always say kinli, like that teretz of taisvis. So that would come out. It's got a machlekas man shach, what is the vart? By the Master Shemachin Elias Kishayel, the Sma holds that you're ready a shomer, you can make up any deals you want. But the Shach holds that when the Shemachin, Master Shemachin Elias Kishayel, the Shemachin becomes a shayel. Itaka becomes a shayel. But that's just a little piece of lumbus. Okay, fine. So
Kimli means
I'm to make a love a raya. If you would have a raya that Pshat is like this sheet in Texas, then you could be made to from you. We don't know which sheet it's like, so then you could. When we say Kimli is from the big questions of Chesha Mishpat, and it's not clear. Among our different Rashi Chabura, we have different rules of when to say Kimli and when not. Okay. Now, because we also talk about Mesa Machas Malacha, so a Shail in general is Chayiv. One of the Pturim of Shail is Mesa Machas Malacha. I borrowed it. Why did I borrow for it to use it? So the famous case of the Gemara was that a man borrowed a cat to eat his mice, and his mice tasted so delicious that the cat ate so many mice, and the cat died, right? The cat overate on the mice. Another version of the story was that the mice ganged up on the cat and killed the cat, okay? Another story, Mesa Machas Malacha, the Ramah brings to Mishumas HaDeshet, that they borrowed weapons, because they were going coming up on their city. They borrowed weapons, and unfortunately, the Goyim beat them. And they not only they won, but they took the weapons with them. So that is another case of Mesa Machas Malacha. The Mechaber and the Ramah have a machlekes in the following case where the someone borrows a car, let's say to drive to New York, and he got carjacked on the way. So is that Mesa Machas Malacha and he should be Pata, or is that Oynes and he would be Chayiv? So the Mechaber holds that it's Mesa Machas Malacha. It was in the middle of driving and got carjacked. Well, it's supposed to be from here. But there are others, others say no, that the carjackings take place in Miami too, nothing to do with the fact that you were driving along the road, and therefore there's no Ptor Mesa Machas Melacha in that case. Fine. Let's talk a little bit about Shmira Bavayis. We said over one case before, Dave Kahn has this story where this person had a fit in a ben, he borrowed this $5,000 tray to put the baby on, and it got lost. So the Shmashal says, $5,000. I lent you the thing. So he said, so there's an halacha in Shmira Bavayis that people that are available at all times to provide public service are considered that they are servicing the public. So I said, what do you mean? You're on Tzol, your radio went off in the middle of the Pidin HaBen, and you ran out to take a call, so it's Shmir B'Bailim, and I am Pachar. So this story went viral in the name of Bezim Meisharim, and they put out things, no one should use that, and whatever, but the story never happened, and the Din Torah did not occur. But that is the idea of Shmir B'Bailim. The Gemara says while you're borrowing the thing, you can tell the guy, give me a cup of water, right? So you borrow him, so it's fine. You say, could you just hold my hat for a second as you're getting into the car? So it's Shmir B'Bailim, and if you have any other issues, you would be potter. Now there's another whole Siman Shulchan Aruch all about, Mishnah says in Perek Hazav, that there's no, you're not a shomer on karka, avadim, shtarais, and hektish. So if a person borrows someone's property, he rents someone's house, it's all karka, and he is potter from all tour, he's potter from shomrim in general. So whatever, you rent, borrow someone's house, you break something, you break the property itself. You what? if something broke, not if he breaks. There's got a tzad, even the pot. The thing is that there's a right with a no, so the pashtus is that the metaltalim of the house does not have the din of karka, and you would be chayiv on the metaltalim. In the case where the person borrowed the house and the stuff got stolen, Rabbi Yashav had a mechudish to gesfar that the person agreed to guard the house, including in that guarding of the house, he agreed to keep the door locked, which would protect the jewelry in the master bedroom as well. And in return for that, he allowed the person to use his house, so he's a shomer safar, and therefore he'd be chayav b'nei b'aveda. We also held in that case, he taka was chayav. When it comes to karka, so first of all, if a person borrows sukkah boards, so they're not karka, but then he puts up his sukkah connected to his house, now they become karka, and the hurricane comes and it knocks down the walls, so even though in the beginning he didn't borrow karka, but now they became karka, and it was borrowed with that intention, so of course he would have the ptor of karka or shtaris. If you something happens to a shtar, you're a shomer on a shtar, on a check, the place can pass this. And while there was a check, it was a story I wrote about in the Kol HaKol a number of years ago where a bachar collected money for the yeshiva and he left the checks in his pants and they went through the wash machine and they're no longer with us. They can't collect anything anymore. So what's the halacha with that check? Is the bachar responsible? So another important halacha to know is that besides just for hektish, in that siman, it also says that mois aniyim, money that was collected for aniyim, also you are not a shomera, and therefore if you lose, you would be potter. So this fellow goes ahead, this is a true story, he collected matanos levyonim, and the money was, someone guy came to his house in the middle of first Seder, no one was home, leave the doors open, and the money was stolen. So Pashas, it's mois aniyim. But however, this is only if there's no specific person that it was collected for. So let's say a Tenka Shabbos, so the local Tenka Shabbos, they have their aniyim, they got what they're supposed to do, so that's considered mamashi yeshli tayvin, and they would be chayiv. They would be what? Again, I'm sorry. Thank you for bringing that up. Pashtas, you're not a shomer, and you putter even on pshia, on mois aniyim, on karka, on hektish, and shtaris, you are potter on all those cases. The Rambam holds that ptur of karka and shtar and hektishes and avadim, not to forget that, is does not apply to pshia. The Rambam famously holds that pshia is kemazik, that a pshia has the din of a mazik. But again, so it's always, you always have a kimli not like the Rambam, because the Chavos says him in more than one place, not like the Rambam. Okay, so that's an important point. I wanted to mention another important halacha that benegea karka. Okay, we'll do this later. Okay, so one more important halacha to know is that once the shoyl or the seicher, he takes it and he makes a kinyan, then the mashal cannot take it back until he uses it for what he borrowed or rented it for. So this story happened where a kala borrowed her gown from the gemach on Sunday. The gemach called her, which came out on a Thursday, and the gemach called her back and said, there's a kala getting married on Tuesday. And I don't know if they said, never hakala, you say whatever. They said she needs her gown. And they said, we'll take it, we'll wash it, we'll clean it, we'll have it ready for you. You're not going to lose out. And the kala said, no, I'm scared that I'm not going to have a gown for my wedding. So I didn't eat me. So the answer is, it's in the first Makaba that once she borrows the gown to use it on Thursday, till Thursday, the mashal has no schuz to take that back. Shalom.